listening to another episode of the Mindful Moment podcast. I'm your host, Will Nichols, and I thank you for taking a moment to be mindful with me and my beautiful Aquarian guest, Rihanna Marie. Thanks for joining
Hello. Me. Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so stoked to be here. Will is one of my favorite people ever. So,
thank you. Well, you actually had me on your podcast a little while ago, right. So now we're balancing things out, and you're coming on here. So
exactly.
Today we're going to be talking about what it means to be liberated through relationship, and I feel like a lot of people think that those terms are opposite terms, like you get chained down when you get into a relationship, and a lot of relationships you do. So there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to talk about the kind of the real truth behind all of that, and how to break free from a lot of the subconscious barriers that prevent us from having great relationships. Then that's the real stuff that changes us. It's not the other person, it's not a relationship itself, it's more or less the beliefs that we have towards relationship, the beliefs that we have towards ourselves, and the beliefs that we have towards our partner. So those are what make or break relationships, and we're going to dive right into that. So a little bit of background. Rihanna is a self-love coach. This beautiful young Aquarian is doing God's work and is helping many people, especially young people, because I feel like there's not a lot of there's not a ton of resources out there, specifically embodiments of what it means to have gone through those experiences. So you want to just give us a little bit of background in regards to your experience of getting to where you are right now to call yourself a self-love coach and help, younger women get out of codependent situations and break free from that type of those type of barriers.
Right. Thank you for the beautiful introduction. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes from my own story. It comes from my own experience, and it comes from being in the depths of that pain. Really, really needing to give that to other people, especially young people. I'll give a real quick little rundown. I grew up in a really toxic environment. So I saw codependency immediately, and I thought it was normal. Like, my dad is a very typical textbook narcissist and drug addict, and then my mom's your typical codependent, empath, all the things. And so that was my like view of relating to one another. And so once I got into the like adolescent ages and I was able to make relationships with people, I was so codependent, right? For a couple of reasons. Like, one, I had these like really big voids of trauma that were just begging to be healed, not filled, but I thought I had to fill them. And also all of the beliefs and stories that I had about love were so twisted. And I think one of the first twisted beliefs that I learned was that unconditional love is loving people no matter how terribly they treat you, right? Like, I was able to watch my mom stay with my dad no matter what through a lot of darkness and a lot of mess. So eventually, by the age of 15, I was in a massively abusive relationship and my codependency was everywhere. And I, you know, really experienced what it feels like to put everything into the hands of another person and then to be completely drained from that and to lose all sense of self. It's a really, really scary place to be. And we'll talk a lot about it, but I compare it to addiction to drugs and alcohol because it's that severe and that serious. And so, long story short, it took me to a big rock bottom in my life when I was 16. I'm 20 now, and at the age of 16, I had to do something different, and I got really, really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I was addicted to a lot of forms of, you know, putting band-aids on myself and numbing and escaping and all of the things. And so I took a year off from relationships at 16 and also from any drugs or alcohol. And I started really healing, and I learned how to love myself. Hated myself. I was on the opposite side. So I began this journey of turning inward and really beginning to feel actually empowered and like I had dignity and like I had self-respect. And the story goes, right at the end of that beautiful year, like literally right at the end, I met Tanner, my boyfriend of 3 years now. And it was this synchronized moment, and he was so clear and healthy and strong, and I was clear and healthy and strong. And in a lot of ways, it felt like a prize from the universe. Like, hey, you did it. Look at the difference, right? Like, you can have this abusive relationship, or you could be in a healthy relationship where you're co-creating with another person. And once I realized the beauty of that and the magic of transformation, I decided it was time to create a business where I could help other people who were struggling with codependency and childhood trauma to shift that and get to the other side where all the magic is.
Yeah, I love that. And was that is that Tanner's like first like long-term relationship, or has he had other experiences before that that were not so great?
Yeah, he had other not so great experiences too. So we had learned a lot before each other. We're each other's longest relationships. I think his longest was like 4, maybe 6 months. I'm not sure. So this is the first time for both of us to truly be in a long-term, really committed relationship. But he had girlfriends and, you know, same story, just toxic and messy. And we learned a lot before each other, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's very important. And a lot of people like to rush over that type of stuff, because there's a deep desire to obviously want to be with someone. There's a deep desire to want to you know, be in a relationship. I think a lot of people, especially people that have been in codependent situations, they want to kind of just feel that commitment again. Right. And the problem is, you know, a lot of times you skip over the important details that you need to be aware of when you're in that state. You're not able to see things clearly. So, you know, I think that's so important to take that time for yourself and to continue to do that even in relationships, because a lot of people will kind of be on a roll. Like, I know for me, like when I, before I met my now girlfriend, I there was a long period of just being single and enjoying, you know, the fun and freedom of being single and working on myself and becoming, you know, building myself into what I want to do, building my business, building my career, the whole shebang. And I think a lot of times too, and this is where, this is what kind of transitions us talking more or less about the beliefs, is that we carry over these patterns from previous situations, because they're not, it's not about the previous situations. It's about the residue of what's inside of us and the residue of our mental programming. So even when you're in a relationship, the work doesn't stop, and neither does the solo time, and neither does the time to, you know, disconnect perhaps from your partner, even to really go deeply inward. And that happens every now and then. You know, it's kind of like ebbs and flows of that, where there'll be lots of moments where you want to be together all the time and it's great and it's amazing. And then other moments where, you know, hey, you know, we need to take some time to just be ourselves, and we need to take some time outside of our relationship to really, you know, connect inwardly, so then we can show up whole and complete. So it really is a never-ending journey, but it is very important that everyone starts to get that process down pat prior to getting into a relationship, because it's a lot harder to start the momentum when you're in a relationship versus to start it outside of a relationship when it's just you, there's no distractions or whatever. And then it's easier to kind of continue, even if you do fall off the bandwagon a little bit, which we all do. But to kind of remind, because if you've been there before, you know what it's like, you know what that state is like, you know what that experience is like. So there's no like, oh, you know, who is really me and who is really, right. You know, the relationship, right? Like, because who we are when we're in a relationship, I mean, at the highest level is should be our authentic selves, but because we have all these conditionings and these beliefs, it doesn't always look like that. You know, a lot of times we try and keep up this image, or we try and keep up this persona for the other person, because this is what we think the other person likes, as opposed to, you know, who are we truly? And a lot of these codependent kind of themes, and we'll get into some of them, revolve around creating this kind of false illusion of what happiness looks like, or this false illusion of what security looks like, this false illusion of what a relationship should be like.
Totally.
When in reality, it's not, it's completely, you know, out of harmony with what you're actually wanting. So we spend a lot of time, we get pretty damn creative spending a lot of time
once you get into
figuring out all those, all those stuff. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think it cut out and then it got weird. Okay. Well, I was just going to piggyback on how the work doesn't stop once you get into a beautiful relationship. I think if anything, it up levels and it becomes, right?
Absolutely.
Because then you have
more out of you. Yeah.
There's more. And then you have this clear mirror, hopefully, in a really good relationship, someone who's going to call you on your shit. And Tanner loves to call me on my shit. And, you know, and I love it because I'm all about going inward. I'm all about seeing the authentic truth and what I need to work on. And so it goes up. And you have to have that stamina, like we're talking about from before, of knowing what that feels like and looks like when you're in your independence and when you're doing the work, so that it doesn't stop when you're in a relationship. And it's like, I think it's interesting because a lot of people, I think in the modern world, we see relationships as everything. Mm-hmm. And there is this codependency to the way that we think about relationships in society right now. And it's got to be like, you do everything together and they're your world and you're constantly thinking about them. Yeah. And
this is fairy tale illusion that, and a lot of that comes from media, for sure.
Totally.
A lot of it comes from media. And what we've been kind of programmed to believe is the perfect relationship, as if there's such thing, by the way.
Right.
Because we're imperfect and they're imperfect. So there's no way in hell our relationship is going to be perfect. But it's about, you know, it's about a conscious choice repetitively saying, I'm consciously choosing to commit to this person. Because I appreciate them in all of these ways, and they add to my life in all these ways, and I add to their life in all these ways.
Yeah.
And I think having both of that side, because there's a kind of little bit of a flawed perspective kind of going around, this belief that it's always about, like, specifically, and this came out of the people going from codependence to super independence. And I think about this when I think about kind of like the feminist movement and something like that, where you're breaking free from feeling powerless. So in order to feel more powerful, you have to kind of assert your power in a way that limits someone else. And that creates dysfunction, that creates more codependency, which is the irony, because then you're constantly relying on your illusion of dominance to give you that sense of power, as opposed to actually cultivating that power and recognizing that power that you've always had within yourself, and breaking down the barriers and the illusions from that. And a lot of people try and do that, where a lot of people are like, well, like, even when people are thinking about getting into a relationship, a lot of the first thing that a lot of people say is like, well, what do I want? You know, what is this person going to bring me? And it's like, that is the wrong question to be asking. And I'm not saying that doesn't work, because in many ways that does work. And like, I wrote a list of everything that I wanted in a person, and I got it because I was very clear on that. But I also was at the same time working on myself and bringing a lot of value to myself and all the people that I meet. So if I wasn't doing that and I was just writing a list of what I wanted, it's this needy, you know, desirous type of energy that is repulsive to many people, because when you are living life in a state of what can I offer, what can I give, as opposed to what can I receive, what can I take, which, again, the pendulum swings, you know, both ways. So when someone's been in this independent, this codependent state for so long, then they want to become more independent, which is a good thing. But a lot of it, again, it comes down to, like, people desire to go out and, like, force people to allow them to have independence, as opposed to recognizing that you always have had it, you already have it, and you've never not had it. It's just been the illusion of your own mind.
Yes. Well, and I think there's actually more power in being, from a women's perspective, from being that independence on an emotional level, like, like, I am strong in who I am and I'm whole as I am, and then letting myself be freaking taken care of. And, like, being held and, you know, having that magic of not having to do it all and knowing that I, you know, I deserve to be taken care of. And I also don't always have to, because I'm so particular on working through my own emotions so that I don't project that. It's also magical to allow the man to hold me in my emotions.
And yeah, and that's your feminine strength too. And I feel like a lot of people see that as a weakness. Specifically, that's a big program that's going on in the collective right now that says it's weak to be a woman and be taken care of. It's weak to, and not just financially, but that's a big thing, but also emotionally and spiritually and mentally and verbally and physically and all the ways. So I feel like, and that's where that type of radical independence, that's still only one step along the journey, because there's kind of three stages there. There's the codependence, independence, and then interdependence. So a lot of people just end it at independence and then wonder why their partner always leaves them, or wonder why their partner cheats on them, or wonders why their relationships never end up working out, or wonders why they can never find a good man. All men are trash, you know? And it's like, well, when you're stuck in that independent state, that is also that state that's not just saying, I can provide for myself, I'll do it all myself. It's also saying, what can you bring me, as opposed to what can we give each other, you know? And that's what interdependence is all about. It's saying, hey, I have strengths and you have strengths. I have weaknesses and you have weaknesses. Mm-hmm. My strengths complement your weaknesses and your strengths complement my weaknesses. So let's work together to become and remind each other of how whole we truly are and utilize our own strengths to uplift each other. It's not about if he's strong in this area and I'm not strong in this area, then he's better than me or he's stronger than me or and vice versa. It's about masculine feminine dynamics. Masculine has different strengths from the feminine. The feminine has different strengths from the masculine. So because of that, we have to own that. And that's what interdependence is all about. And when you're in that, it's still in that transitory state from codependence to independence, you cannot experience that because you haven't left the independence yet. Because independence at the end of the day is who you are. Like sovereignly, you're born independent. You're born an individual expression of divinity. Interdependence is when you choose to engage in oneness with what is around you. And we generally see that as relationships, like intimate relationships. But that is literally in all area. All of life is about interdependence, not about independence. Because at the end of the day, even independence is an illusion. You know, the truth is it's interdependence. The world, the cosmos is interdependent on each other.
Right. Even if you take that from a spiritual perspective, let go of people, right? Like we're co-creating with whatever you want to call it, the universe, God. It's all interdependence. And I think coming from someone who coaches self-love, it's so important that we don't get caught up in, I'm going to do every single thing on my own and I don't need anybody, because that's super twisted. Yeah. Because it's actually, we came here to experience that shit. Right. We came here to be with other people, whether it's friendships or love or your family, you know, we came here to connect. And you can feel that, like, you know, having to do quarantine, you can feel how it's tricky for people to not have connection. So I think self-love is more about, how can I fill myself up with all the wholeness so that when I come with another person, we're whole together and I'm no longer taking from them because I don't think I have it inside of me. Yeah. It's more of what you were talking about, where I go into a space of, whoa, we have different weaknesses and different strengths and they can do this. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool, but we're both whole. And it's that mix that comes in right here where the magic is. And that's actually self-love. And, absolutely. You know, and it took me a minute to like learn that. But during that year of really focusing on myself, it was magical. Like I was like, whoa, I can feel cool on my own. Like, oh, I do love myself. Oh, this has always been the truth. Oh, I've always been enough. And then like getting into relationship, it's like, I'm still enough. It's just extra. It's a cherry on top, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what it is. You know, it's not, cause the idea that, like I'm enough, this should be a given, you know, that should be a given, that you are enough and that you are whole and complete as you are. But for a lot of people, the reality is it's not a given based off of whatever upbringing or conditioning and traumas that they've accumulated along the journey. But we can break free from that, and we can recognize the importance of not only maintaining our wholeness and completeness, but also being able to bring that to the table in a relationship, which is what relationships are all about. It's not two halves make a whole, it's two wholes make a bigger whole. Mm-hmm. And we can recognize that the magic of more than one person coming together, one whole person coming together, two whole people coming together, this creates, you know, an experience where we are contributing not only to ourselves in a much higher capacity and velocity, but we're also creating something externally in the outer world as well, just through our embodiment. And it doesn't matter if you're physically working on any sort of project with that person, like a creative project or whatever, or whether you're just literally embodying that loving energy, you are impacting the world around you in a much higher velocity than you can do on your own. And that's the point of relationships. That's the point of relationships. It's like, hey, I can do some pretty amazing things on my own, and so can you. But like, what can we do together?
Right. You know? Right.
And again, it's like, I think a lot of people too, especially like business-minded people, will think about it more or less in a business way of like what value are you bringing to the table, yeah, and what value can I bring to the table in that capacity? Like, can we actually make a business or something together? But to be honest, the real, you know, nature of all of that comes down from being able to own just the embodiment of being in that energy of what is it that we're creating together, you know, right now, just by being in each other's presence, not by doing anything, not by having anything, not by accomplishing anything even, but rather just by being whole beings together in each other's company. And again, using each other as mirrors to go deeper and deeper and deeper into ourselves.
Well, and
that's
then
what it's all about.
It is. And you come out of that honeymoon, magic, lust kind of moment, and you come into that safety and that home with another. And there's something really special about that, because if you've built that home within yourself, hopefully, and then you get to experience a home with another, there's a spiritual magic to that I think is unmatched, and that everybody deserves to experience in this life. And there's this relief and this safety and this like letting go in that moment when you realize, oh my God, we're each other's home now.
Yeah.
Right? We're safe now. And you can let go of a lot of that extra maybe societal stuff in that moment. And especially as a feminine, like just letting go of needing to be so independent, because the world keeps saying that we've been on the opposite. And yeah, look, there's
you've been oppressed. You've been oppressed. You've been oppressed.
Right. We talk, Tanner and I talk about this all the time. So we loved your recent video, because there's some truth to that, right? Like in a way there has been oppression. This movement wouldn't come out of nothing. However, there's a lot of times we take extremes like we're talking about, right? So if you're in codependency, you go, oh, okay, I need to be completely.
Yep.
That middle ground, right? Like getting sober, right? Like if you're addicted, then you're going to be, oh, I need to be completely abstinent. And then maybe in a few years, like I did, you'll find that kind of middle ground again and see that. And so there's this magic in like, yeah, sure, I need to build my independence, but it doesn't mean that I have to always be in power. There's a really messy narrative there, I think, because it puts too much pressure on the feminine, who actually just wants to flow.
Exactly.
And right? And the man, like, you guys want to take care. You want to be needed. You want to.
The most important thing for a man is to feel like he has some sort of purpose in not only his own life, but in his partner's life, because that means that he is needed, that he is admired. And you could literally tell a man every day that you appreciate him, but if he does not feel like he is serving some sort of purpose, because that's the entire action of the masculine. And that's why, going back to what you were saying, when a woman feels like she needs to do something to be in her power all the time, as opposed to be in her power all the time, those are big difference. For a man, it's about action energy. It's about seeking out energy. For a woman, it's about the momentum of beingness, you know? So for a woman, the most powerful thing is for her to be in her power, like be in her power, not have to do anything. It's like, you don't need to, you don't need to provide for yourself to be in your power. You don't need to be the emotionally strong one to be in your power, right? You need to just be in your flow. And sometimes that looks fucking crazy. You know, that looks insane and wild. And it's like, holy. And then other times it's this beautiful, graceful, you know, it's like the calm after the storm. And then other times it's like the full on hurricane, you know, but that's the ebb and flow of the feminine. Whereas the masculine is a little bit more linear in that approach. It's a little bit more, I have a purpose to serve and I'm going to serve that purpose. And it is my utmost honor to serve that purpose and be devoted to this cause. And that's how they work in harmony with one another. So the irony is, when women feel like they need to do something to be in their power, they're not in their feminine or in their masculine. And guess what happens when you're in your masculine and your partner's a masculine partner? Well, you lose all polarity. There's no polarity. Exactly. It becomes this power struggle. And a lot of guys get really defensive because of that. And imagine being all tense and defensive. And on top of that, having no polarity, because polarity is positive, negative, masculine, feminine. If it's two masculines, it's like there's no sexuality there. There's no chemistry there. It's just like bros, you know, we're just living together. Same with two feminines, you know,
if
a woman is in her feminine all the time and you are like a little emotional baby, then what happens is that same thing happens. It just becomes like, you just become one of the girls, you know, like if you want to create that polarity, you want to keep that energy going. And I'm saying that from experience of being on either side of those poles, right? Yeah. And noticing what that does to your intimate life, noticing what that does to your ability to connect. And it's always better when you can just own and feel safe enough to be in your embodiment. And that is not always the responsibility of your partner. It primarily is the responsibility of you to feel safe enough to be in your own essence.
Well, and I think that's exactly what self-love is.
Absolutely.
It's not about doing anything. It's it's not. It's about becoming or remembering.
Remembering. That's exactly what it is.
Right? It's coming back to the truth, the wholeness of who you are. And that is an embodiment. You're not doing anything to be the truth of who you are. It's not the journals, right? Yeah. It's the feeling. And it comes from within. Mm-hmm. And it's only that feeling that creates the embodiment where you'll watch people mirror that back to you. It's not based on what you're doing in your life.
Absolutely.
And when you begin to embody that truth, that wholeness, and this happened to me very, very, very clearly. I've been on both sides, kind of like you've experienced both sides of different coins, right? Once I started to embody myself that way, everyone was respecting me, like straight up. Like people were just being respectful and kind and a true form of unconditional love. Whereas on the flip side, when I was like, I'm not enough, what do I need to do to be enough?
Yep.
That doing thing again, right?
Yeah, I'll try this, I'll try that, I'll try these things to get attention, I'll try these things to feel loved, I'll try these things to get validated.
Right.
And you know, you will burn out doing that.
Completely. You'll lose
it's
yourself.
Just, you just watch the time, because it'll just be in time. And if you're going through that right now and you're listening to this, again, watch the time, because you're like, it's only a matter of time before you are going to burn out and crash and burn. And guess what? When you're in a relationship and that happens, that's not good news for the relationship, you know, because that can create a lot of additional problems that are unnecessary. And I say that from experience as well. You know, like it's, you cannot allow yourself to crash and burn. You need to be nurturing yourself. And especially women nowadays, like you need to be nurturing yourself. You need to be also surrounding yourself with more feminine women, you know, more women that have the same mindset as you, not this whole, and there's nothing wrong with women working for themselves, having your own business, doing what you want to do, but do it because you love to do it. Not because you need to work, you know, I need to hustle and grind and be this independent babe. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. I keep thinking about that lately. I'm like, dude, I do what I do because I freaking love to express myself.
Yeah.
Whether that's Aquarian energy or whatever it is, I just like to express myself in different forms.
Well, that's the feminine, you know? And I feel like a lot of women who are listening to that and saying, well, that's easy for you to say, you know, because you already got started and all this stuff. It's like, the truth is, when you tap into that flow, not only do you become more magnetic to attracting and creating the experiences that allow you to be successful at what you do, but because you're in your feminine, you're opening up to actually receive that, Whereas when you're in your masculine, you're thinking, well, I could start this thing that I love to do, but I need to pay the bills, or but I need to do all these things, but I need to provide for myself. The but, that literally blocks you from truly tapping into the magnetic radiance that you're here to experience, especially as a woman. Men can tap into this too, but.
Would you say it's because there's a lack there? It's like you're in a lack mindset when, as a feminine, you're kind of in that masculine energy.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because we're taught that you have to work hard to earn your keep, you know? Mm. And that's such a masculine way. If a man was telling me that, I would say, absolutely, you're absolutely true. But when a woman tells me that, I say, no, you got it all wrong. Because even the way that a man approaches business versus the way that a woman approaches business is very different. Because there's different polarities, there's different embodiments going on here, right? So for men, we're building. That's the whole nature of a masculine. He builds himself into who he is, right? And into this dream vision, this caricature of what his highest self is. Whereas a woman, it's all about deconstructing. It's all about breaking down all the barriers that prevent you from seeing who you actually are. And to some extent, that's true for the masculine too. But with the masculine embodiment, it requires that building process. Whereas for women, it doesn't require that building process. It requires that undoing, unraveling process.
I love that, like, a lot, because that's been my life, right? Yeah. It's been all about unraveling. It's been all about unlearning, not learning, unlearning.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the majority of learning, you know, it's honestly unlearning. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, and I know this, that I got lucky being 16 when I started to unravel all of that.
Yeah, no, most people don't do that till they're 30, 40, 50 years old. So,
or if ever, right? Yeah. And
I see all these Aquarian kids coming in now, and they already got it. They already got it.
You need to meet my little brother, my Aquarian little brother.
Oh, yeah.
He's 11. He was born a day before me. And I'm shocked, actually shocked by him. I did a podcast with him on spirituality because he's like already having an awakening.
Yeah, of course. These kids are born already so connected. And
you know, straight up.
And even though the world is the craziest it's ever been, and I don't think the world has ever worked harder to disconnect us from our power and disconnect us from ourselves, you know, this next generation that's coming in, and even the millennial Gen Zs and all that, everyone, I don't know what generation we're on now.
Yeah, I don't even
Gen A. So, you know, these people are coming in, and they know what's good. They're connected. They see beyond their own conditioning, a lot of them, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. You know, it's amazing to see.
It brings me so much hope. That's what it does. Because I have little siblings. I'm watching this firsthand. I've got a little baby sister who's 3. And she was born the day before I met Tanner. So that's magic.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that a little while
ago. Right? It's kind of crazy. And she fucking knows who she is. She knows. And she'll tell you. And she's not messing around. And I'm like, that's the magic that we need in the kids, right? To have that, like, knowing, that strong knowing. Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Do you want to, where do you want to segue, like, childhood trauma?
Well, conscious? I mean, I just want to touch back on one point that you brought up, which is that, you know, is it lack when it comes to a woman feeling like they need to compensate with doing? And I don't think it's necessary. I think it is definitely a lack program that says that you need to do, like what I was saying before, you need to do in order to get results. You know, you can't just sit there and things will happen. It's like, try it out, see what happens. Cause I guarantee you do that enough, you'll change your mind on that talk. I guarantee you, you know, and that's all about tapping into your own magnetism, you know, which I feel like a lot of women, especially nowadays, when we're having these agendas that are really attempting to masculinize women and feminize men and bring us away from our true essence. We women are applauded for climbing up the corporate ladder and hustling and grinding it out. And men are applauded for being these emotional little fucking, you know, spiritualists, you know? And so, you know, and again, there's nothing wrong with that because we have to expand the boundaries of our polarity, which is what the Age of Aquarius is all about. It's about, you know, moving beyond identities and all that and really stepping into more of a communal living, which is why we're seeing a lot of these social issues come up. However, that is being used against us as well, which is what we need to be conscious of. And we need to be aware of how that's being used against us in the wrong way. So as a woman, you know, this whole idea that you have to hustle hard and you have to be that boss ass babe and that you're only a strong woman if you can provide for yourself, if you're independent, blah, 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 blah. And there's all these different agendas that say, you know, it's not men's problem that that they're emasculated by you wanting to provide for yourself. It's not men, you know, all that, all these different little dialogues that go on that seem very subtle. You know, you don't think too much about them when you hear them. But you repeat that enough, and then all of a sudden you have a generation of, again, the biggest impact this has had has been specifically on men. And when we look at the state of men today, I mean, there's a lot of problems that we can talk about, but the one of the main issues is that men in general lack a sense of purpose. And a lot of that has to do with the feminine, or at least a lot of the collective kind of feminist types, pushing away all masculine energy. The irony is they're embodying more masculine energy than they've ever embodied in their lifetime, disguised as femininity, but it's not. It's very masculine. It's very assertive. It's very in your face. It's very, you know, that's masculine energy. So when a man tries to like approach a woman now, like even if you think about like 60 years ago, like if you were to ask a woman for her phone number, like you would go up to her, you'd chat her up a little bit, and then you'd ask her for a phone number. You'd go out for a date, you know, go out, get sundaes or whatever, get little floats at the diving bar, and you know, you'd go out to a movie and whatever. And it was a lot more casual. Nowadays, it's like, you know, you look at someone in the wrong way, sexual harassment, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. Like you can't even talk to people anymore without them saying that. And there are obviously, like, you know, I mean, the people that I have surrounded myself with and the people that I engage with are not like that, but I have noticed that a lot of guys actually struggle with that because of this kind of masculinization, which is, I guess, where it leads us into this when we talk about trauma and stuff like that.
Well, I also just really agree with so much of what you're saying. And I think too, like, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. There's something we're meant to give each other. And
absolutely. And we speak different languages. And there's a reason languages. For that. Yeah.
There is. And I think too, it's like one thing I do like is that we do both have masculine and feminine within us. So part of this life is about finding how you blend that and balance that, right? Like, I do want a man who can get emotional with me. That's important to me because I'm so deeply emotional and I go into that Venus kind of underworld state because I have to. It's a part of my flow, right? That chaotic feminine flow. I have to go into the underworld sometimes. So it's not that I need a soft person. I need a man who can understand what the hell is happening when I'm going.
I was just gonna say that, but you already answered that question now, because I was gonna say, you know, do you really want an emotional man, or do you want a man who can understand your emotions?
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
A lot of guys take this the wrong way, and a lot of girls actually don't realize what they're saying when they say, I just want a man who's in touch with his emotions. I just want a man who's emotional. It's like, you don't want a baby that you have to take care of.
Yeah.
Like, you know. You know, women can barely handle their own emotions, nonetheless the emotions of another person, you know, they don't need that. And as a man, you know, thinking that, well, if I just get in touch with my emotions, then I'll just be this fucking sexy man to her, you know, it's like, no, you'll actually repulse her in many, many ways. Cause like we were talking about before with the polarity, it's like, now you have two negative poles where you have feminine. It's like, now you just become one of the girls, you know, it's like, that's not what you want. And by the way, women need that. You need other women to be able to talk about and get emotional with and have that dialogue with, but they also need that masculine essence to ground them and say, hey, I understand you. I feel you. And I'm here to hold space for you to just let yourself be in that energy. Let's have this emotional competition and see who can be more emotional, but rather let's say, you know, I have these boundaries. I'm in control of my own emotions as a man, And I can witness and understand your emotions and feel you and really feel you and be present with you as you flow in that space.
That's what we need. That's what we're craving.
So when women say, I want an emotional man, to all the men listening to this, that's what they really want. Mm-hmm. They don't want an emotional baby who is more emotional than they are.
Right. We don't want someone who's turned off by emotions. You know, it's not that. It's more of like, all right, you got some big waves you go through, darling. Like, I'm just going to hold you through them. I'm going to see you in it. I'm going to love you in your authenticity and in your mess. And it's part of why when you build a co-creating type of relationship where you're both independent, it's why I need girlfriends. Because I need someone who will cry with me for 3 hours and talk in circles about
that. Isn't your boyfriend?
He's not my boyfriend.
Because you don't want your boyfriend at the end of the day to do that.
Right. And he doesn't want to.
No, he doesn't want to do that. No guy that says they actually want to do that is truthful.
About whatever, like psychoanalyzing people, you know, whatever it is. Because women, we release our emotions by talking. That's the truth, right? And so that's why you need, right, we express it. That's why you need good girlfriends who are just going to talk in circles with you for literally 3 hours.
Get it all out.
Right.
And then you come back. And it doesn't mean that you're shut off from emotions, but you just feel a lot more calm and balanced. And then when you do go back to your man, then there's this a lot more peace that you can approach it with. And then if you do want to talk about your emotions and he can listen, that's an incredible experience. But it's not this, because the thing is, you know, a lot of women too have this expectation that a man is going to be able to listen to them all the time. And that's impossible. I have to say that is impossible. Because it's like, okay, you know, you can surf a big wave, but you can't surf a tsunami. Mm-hmm. You know, that tsunami's coming down. And that you just have to let that ride out, you know, and that's what girls need girlfriends for. And that's why guys need guy friends for, is so that we can be rooted in our true essence and express that. Because, you know, a lot of guys at the end of the day want to talk about their day, and a lot of women want to talk about what's on their mind and their emotions. So if guys don't have that outlet with other guys to be able to, you know, get all that stuff out, then they come home to their partner and they dump it all on them, and then their partner comes home to them because they don't have any girlfriends to talk about it. They dump their emotions all on them, and this becomes a dump fest, and then you're living in a pile of shit, you know. And that's not what we want. We want to have relationships where we can get that out of it, get that angst out of us, feel grounded in our own polarity, and then approach the relationship from that place of wholeness.
Well, we had to learn this a lot during quarantine.
Hell yeah.
It was gnarly, Will.
It brought it all out.
It brought
for everyone.
Oh yeah. Wasn't that gnarly?
You don't have that same social, you didn't have that same socialization, you know? And I mean, thankfully I was able to kind of check that pretty, you know, I mean, not soon enough, but soon enough that I was able to, you know, say, okay, hey, we need some space. We need some time to, you know, like whether it's just having a bunch of calls with friends or whatever you got to do, you know, but we need that because, you know, you can't rely on each other for everything.
No, that was the thing. And Venus was retrograde during that time. It was so gnarly.
That was a gnarly one, Venus and Gemini. That was in your first house too, right?
Yeah, and Tanner's a Gemini.
He's a Gemini.
Uh-huh. It was beautiful because when you're in a conscious relationship, all of the tests are actually beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you learn how to move through them in a way that's super empowering.
Yep.
But
doesn't mean that they're not painful, though.
But they're painful and they're hard. No joke. And, you know, I had to learn a couple of things. And one of them was, like, he is not my girlfriend. Like, he can't talk for hours. And I can't expect him to. And I knew
stay
that.
Present. Because, like, we can talk for hours, but to stay present, you know, which is what, at the end of the day, you want, obviously.
Right.
Like, you don't want someone to just be checking out while you're trying to explain how you feel. And obviously, you get frustrated, and then the guy gets frustrated because he's like, Jesus Christ, how much longer do we have to listen to this for, you know?
Well, and especially when it's super emotional and vulnerable, because I think with a conscious man, they're really able to tap into that vulnerable part, right? And like go there with you, and you can cry together, you can have those emotional moments, that beauty. But they also like need a break. Whereas I think as women, we could be in vulnerability constantly if we wanted to. It's not hard. I could be emotional all the time. Like it's home, you know? I'm in my heart chakra. Like we can cry. I'll do that all the time. Right.
Yep.
And I also was going through a huge, 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 painful inner experience where all of these, uncovered traumatic memories from my childhood were coming up. And I was remembering this sexual trauma that happened to me. Sometimes it's crazy how lightly I can talk about these things, but it's you. So I'm also comfortable. Right. So that was coming up. And what happened is it made me realize I'm not safe in this world at all. And that was coming up in my subconscious and my everything. And I was having all this really gnarly anxiety during this time. So two things happened and I had to learn how to separate the two. One, I really, really, really wanted to be taken care of, but in a codependent way all of a sudden. And I had not been in that once yet in this relationship, right? And so that part of me that feels broken and not enough and like someone took something from me really, really young was like, I'm not enough and I need to be fulfilled, right? Back in that codependent feeling that I know so well. And it messed up the polarity. But what I actually needed, which was beautiful, was I actually just needed to be held. And there was nothing wrong with that. And I had this really cool lesson during that time of the difference between the two. Of where, how can I be held and taken care of in a way that's, you know, supportive, but I'm still whole. I'm still holding my during that time. And I got to be deeply held. I got to be deeply taken care of. And I got to find a way to do that where it didn't, where it wasn't codependent, where it didn't take away from me and my embodiment of my wholeness. It was fucking gnarly time.
Yeah. I feel like anytime we uncover stuff like that, it's not a very pleasant, comfortable experience, but that's the point, you know, it's to leave that comfort zone, because comfort does not mean security. And I think a lot of times we confuse the two very, very easily because comfort to us is just like, oh, well, it's familiar. So I'm used to it. You know, I'm used to these ways of thinking, or I'm used to this way of being taken care of, or I'm used to these ways of going about life. And just because you're familiar with it doesn't mean it's good for you.
No, I think it's awesome.
You know, the heroin addict is very familiar with banging heroin up his arm. Yeah. You know, it's, oh, it feels great. It feels so comfortable. It feels familiar, you know. It's well, is that the greatest thing for you? Probably not, you know. So yeah, and the same thing goes in relationships. You know, when we are comfortable, or these familiar feelings come up, which happens, because when you connect to someone on a deep level, obviously they feel familiar to you. They feel you feel comfortable in their presence, which is a good thing. But what happens is when you're in that space for long enough, which is what happens when the honeymoon phase, when those blinders come off, you start to see everything for what it actually is, which is actually not what it actually is, but you start to notice the flaws, you start to notice the inconsistencies, and you your partner reflects that back to you, and you get annoyed. Right. You get annoyed because you're seeing these parts of yourself that you haven't really seen before, you haven't really acknowledged before, that your partner is so very wonderfully and beautifully acting out for you that you get to witness and experience and get triggered by. And that's part of the fun, you know, is being able to see that and stay in that state of awareness to observe it, as opposed to identify with it or take it personally, which is the easiest thing to do. And it's the most challenging thing to do when you're being faced with a direct reflection of all the things that you don't like about yourself, right in front of you, acting it all out in front of you. And if you haven't dealt with that, then that's going to be a traumatic experience. That's going to actually upbring that trauma. And then a lot of people, the natural mechanism is to either shut down, right, and completely disassociate, disconnect, or to run and to say, fuck this, I'm out of here, fuck you. That's it, you know. And that's why you work on yourself.
That's why,
because both of those tendencies are trauma reactions that keep us locked into those codependent cycles, where now it's like, it's either I can completely rely on someone for everything, or I can't rely on them for anything. This person sucks, blah, 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 my needs aren't getting met, all this stuff. And when you take a step back to zoom out a little bit and look at it for what it actually is, you're like, there's a lot of things here that I didn't realize about myself. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's still lingering. You know, a lot of times when people have insecurities, like, for example, if you have abandonment issues, like people, you're always afraid of your partner picking up, packing up their bags and leaving, that's going to manifest as in either two situations. It's always two polarities. One is that you either embody that which you fear most, or you go in the exact opposite direction of that which you fear most in order to try and prevent it, which ironically ends up creating it. So either if you have a fear of abandonment, either you're going to be the one to abandon that person first so that they can't abandon you, and that's putting that callus on your heart that's going into the masculine that's going there, or you're going to go all the way into the feminine and not deal with your shit and just kind of tolerate not getting your needs met, just consistently tolerate all of that until that person is kind of getting nothing from you, and then you essentially give them the pathway to pack up and abandon you. So in that case, it's always about witnessing what is the core belief that I have towards, you know, this situation right now that is triggering me. What is the core belief? What is my core perception? How am I perceiving the situation? Not what's going on, because a lot of times we like to look at, well, he's not giving me my needs in this way, or she's not providing me this in this way. And it's like, no. The situation, the circumstance is the result. Right? It's the reaction but what is the action? And the action is the belief. So that's what's creating these circumstances. That's what's creating these situations. So never acknowledge the situation. Never engage with the situation. Engage with yourself. Engage with the perceptions and the beliefs that you have towards the situation. Because just the littlest tweak in that, if you're not getting your needs met in some way, and instead of saying to your partner, you're not giving me my needs, blah, 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 it's all your fault, blah, blah, blah. Instead of saying that, just recognize the ways in which they are giving you your needs, you know? Recognize the ways in which you're grateful and appreciative of that, and notice how everything shifts, your own perception. When your own perception shifts, everything else shifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you just make that little tweak, instead of looking at, and this is what happens when people leave that honeymoon phase and enter into that back and forth, the friction phase, you know, is, and the people that last long are the people that are able to focus on more positive things and negative things. But the people that don't last long are the people that focus on more negative things about their partner, about the circumstances, about themselves, than they do positive things. And that over time, this is like literally been tested, like thousands and thousands of couples in a lab through the Gottman Institute. They tested this. This is science, that if you think more negatively about your partner, about the situation, about how you're not getting your needs met, blah, 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 even if in some areas you're not getting your needs met, if you think more negatively about that, you will create a situation that eventually will lead to a failure in that relationship, you know, versus if you, even if you're not getting your needs met in all the ways that you desire to get your needs met, which again, it's like, you can't rely on one person to give you everything that you need. That's why we have friends. That's why we have family. That's why we have other people that we can rely on. But when you can focus on a lot of the positive things, and this is going to be very hard for negative people and for people that are still dealing with a lot of these, you know, limiting beliefs and stuff. And I can tell you from a personal experience, it's much more challenging to think about all the positive things than it is to think about the negative things when they're smacking you in the face right in front of you, right? It's very, very challenging. And then you start to question and have a lot of doubt, like towards like, am I being codependent by just ignoring the negative things and focusing on the good things, you know? And the only way to actually know that for sure is to go inward and to look inward. And when you realize that, by seeking out the most positive experience, you're not bypassing anything. You are giving yourself and your partner and your relationship and the world an opportunity to experience the highest desire of you. And the highest desire of you is not some fairyland fantasy thing. It's your soul's desire. You know, this is what you want. Like, if you as a woman want to be taken care of, that is something that your soul desires, because at the end of the day, it knows that it is always taken care of. So of course it wants that, you know? And so there's nothing wrong with that. But what happens too, going back to what we talked about with the leaving the honeymoon phase, is we leave that stage and we start focusing on all the negatives, because it's just hitting us in the face, because we've been putting it off for so long. And we lose that muscle that we originally had when we first met that person, because we just, every flaw that they had was just out the door. We just, it was perfect. You know, it doesn't matter. Even if, you know, like before you start talking to this person, like, I hate people who chew with their mouth open, and this person chews with their mouth open. You're like, oh, this person's so beautiful. Cute. Oh my God. What was I even worrying about? Right. Well, fast forward to 1.5, 2 years down the line. What happens? Well, then it starts, you're fucking chewing with your mouth open. It's disgusting, all this stuff. It's like, they're not doing anything different usually, you know? And I'm not saying you don't grow in relationship, because we all grow, we all evolve. But the majority of the time when you're getting frustrated at your partner in that way, they're not doing anything different. They're doing what they've been doing the whole time. The only thing that's changed is your perception. So the only thing that can change is your perception. And that's where it comes back down to working through, like what Rihanna and I do, of working through those belief systems with ourselves and with other people to really get to the core root of who you are, you know?
Yeah. And it is all about perception, right? Like, I think too, when you are leaving that little light, everything's cool honeymoon phase, it's not a negative thing. If you can shift the perception in the right way, it's, oh wow, we're really powerful and we're going to teach each other a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sometimes we're going to get triggered, and yeah, it's not perfect. It was never meant to be perfect.
And yeah, so, we're going to have to face it. We're not going to run from it.
But then if you shift the narrative and the perception into, this is a really awesome miracle that we have this in our lives, that we get to do that self-realization work within a relationship, you change what it means when you get triggered. So it's no longer like, I'm just getting annoyed all the time and this sucks and I'm seeing all the other parts of them. It becomes this like space of learning and growth and growing. And I remember very early on, I realized like at any time that I was having an issue and we were having a tense, difficult conversation, it always came back to this really beautiful, loving space at the end, no matter what. Because we realized, oh, we're learning something here. And so a way to check in on your relationship is, after we're working on something, are we actually taking action to grow on what we just worked on? Or are we in a cycle? Because the cycles are what's codependent. The cycles are where nothing's changing and you're not getting any work done. The magic is when you're going through a couple issues and triggers and stuff, but you're coming to solution and you're actually implementing the solution, and then you're growing. And look, just as we grow up in life and things get a little bit trickier and your problems get a little bit more severe than, you know, what am I going to have for my snack? And when am I having nap time when we're a little kid, right? You know, same thing in relationship. The kind of stuff you're working on together gets a little more mature and a little more severe, but you're
much
building
more intense.
More intense. It totally is. It just is, right? Mm-hmm. But you had practice. That's why you're in relationship. That's why you're growing together. So that when there's a pandemic or whatever the hell and everyone has to be locked up inside, you're like, you know what? We actually know how to deal with this. We've never done this before, but we're definitely strong enough with a strong enough foundation to understand what might be happening if we're getting triggered, mm-hmm. right? Because we're sharing space together, because that's human, right? Like, no matter who you're sharing a ton of space with, you're going to get annoyed. But if you have that foundation of communication, which is literally everything, and you have that foundation of trust and also deep love, right? If you know you have that deep love, it's all fine, babe. Like, that's the truth. It's like, when you have that deep love and you have that beautiful trust, everything is about love. I mean it. And that's because this comes back to perception, right? Like, how are you perceiving the relationship? Is it all hard work, or is it all work for love and worth it? Mm-hmm. And it makes everything different. So it's like powerful to change your own narratives, not only within yourself, but also in relationship. And that's what it is when Will and I are working on limiting beliefs and your subconscious stuff and the patterns and the stuff, right? because we created that a long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. And you may be able to start seeing them more than you ever have when you're in a conscious relationship, right? Like, just because I work on myself doesn't mean that I don't still struggle with abandonment wounds because of everything that happened to me in my childhood. It's still a fear, you know, it's still hard. So I'm still going to have little things that trigger that, that have nothing to do with my partner, like zero, yeah, and everything to do with my story. And when I can be conscious and recognize, like, oh, okay, like this is my story replaying, and it actually has nothing to do with my present. I like to say this is my past painting my present. You take a lot of pressure off of your partner to cater to your wounds. Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between making your partner cater to your wounds and wanting them to have an understanding and a respect for them. Like, your partner should know what your trauma is and what you've gone through and what your deep fears are. It makes things a lot easier if you can have those real conversations, but they're not supposed to cater to it, because that's still your job. That's still your work, right?
And if they do, in fact, they're actually doing you a disservice, because they're not only getting in the way of your own work, but they're constantly reaffirming that identity for you, which is the exact opposite of what you want. You want to break free from that identity. Mm-hmm. So the only way to do that is for them to treat you as you truly are, which is beyond all of that, while still being empathetic to that, of course, because, you know, you don't need to be a heartless little bitch about it either, you know.
Totally. So,
having that understanding, like that empathetic understanding without catering to it, which I think is a lot of, especially nowadays, a lot of guys have a lot of fear towards that, because a lot of guys feel like, if I don't cater towards this trauma response, then she's going to, you know, freak out or lash out or blah, 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 blah. Because frankly, you know, 50% of people have grown up in a single parent household. Right, a broken family, probably closer to 60-70% in regards to a broken family. But for the fact that your parents actually got divorced, that's about a 50% rate. Okay, so half the population has experienced that, meaning half of the population had, especially men, had to, in a sense, cater to their parents' childhood and or relationship wounds that they were continuing to act out. So men, actually, subconsciously, we have this this inner impulse, this program that says, if we cater to these beliefs, these codependent beliefs, these abandonment beliefs, these when mom lashed out in this way, you knew what to say and what to do to compensate and to calm her down, and you did that by catering to her wounds as opposed to giving her what she actually needed. Because if you did that as a kid, you get scolded or you get yelled at, or you get, you know, there'd be some sort of consequence for that. But when you're in a relationship, it's a little different, because, I mean, ideally it's a little different. Sometimes you just keep reenacting the same shit over and over again, and you keep playing out those games and patterns. But in a healthy relationship, it's different than that, because you're both holding each other accountable to the highest version of yourself while still being empathetic to the journey that you're both on. Because there's no, it's not that you need to be completely like detached in that way of just being completely ignorant to the fact that this person's gone through some pretty wild shit that you could probably not even ever really imagine because you've never experienced it yourself. So you need to be empathetic to that experience, but empowering as well, not disempowering. Because what you do when you cater to those wounds, mm-hmm, and you try and accommodate for all these things, it's like juggling, and there's lots of them, so you can't juggle them all, right? But you can connect with the core root of who that individual is that's sitting in front of you, and own that connection and really commit to that connection. Not commit to, because you're not committed to that person's trauma. Right? Yeah. You're not committed to that person's trauma. You're committed to that person. Now, that person has trauma, so in a sense, it kind of feels like you are, but you're really committed to the heart of that person, which is beyond the trauma. So when you continue to commit to that, and you continue to show up consistently, then that person feels safe enough to actually move beyond that, because they eventually, you realize that this person isn't committed to these all these crazy, weird aspects of me. They're committed to me, who I truly am. And the only way for people to feel that is to have someone to reflect that to you and for you to actually be aware of that. And that's the best part about relationships, is we have that opportunity to have someone to reflect that back to us consistently, 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 so that finally one day, and it's one day for one little belief, and there's tons and tons of them. So yeah. That's why it's a continual process. But one day, eventually, you'll see yourself beyond that belief, and you'll see yourself for how your partner, in a sense, or at least you will understand, in a sense, how your partner perceives you beyond that belief, beyond that reaction, beyond that trauma, beyond that trigger. And you can let that go. And you can create more empowering beliefs that are in alignment with who you actually are.
What a beautiful way to put that. Like, seriously, that was a really, really, really eloquent way to describe how you deal with trauma within a healthy relationship. Because it's true. It's not catering to the trauma, because that's just reinforcing the whole thing.
It's a delicate line to walk, though. Because too many guys are walking on eggshells, which is not good either, right? It's like, oh, don't awake the beast, you know? It's like, no, you have to have the courage to stand in front of the beast.
Yes.
And see beyond it, and see that, you know, inside of this giant dragon, behind the giant dragon, way up in the tower, there is a beautiful princess there. You know, and you got to slay some dragons on the way there too.
You do. Well, and
that will be a little painful for her too, by the way. You know.
No, it is painful, and it's supposed to be, because pain is a portal to spiritual realization. That's the freaking truth of everything. And it's my job to know my trauma, know how it shows up, know my patterns, know my stuff. And it's also my job to recognize when that's showing up. And look, there's something really beautiful here. I think the fine line is that, you know, at least for me, actually personally, like, let's say I have a lot of trust issues, right? Like, I've been backstabbed my whole life, you know, in all the ways that I've had trauma and I've been abused. And so I'm learning through my relationship that I can trust. And he teaches me that every single day, that I'm actually safe and I actually can trust. And sometimes I'm going to go back into that old story of, I feel like I can't trust and I'm afraid. And what if, you know, everyone isn't who they say they are? That's a core belief of mine, because I've dealt with a lot of narcissists in my life. So he is teaching me, he is kind of coddling that, but in a really healthy, magical way of like, hey, you're actually safe and you can trust. But if I'm in a weird pattern of like projecting my not trust, my partner is going to call that out and be like, hey, this isn't fair, because I'm not actually doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is your story, because I've been showing you how much you can trust. And I think that's like a very real way that everything you were talking about shows up in the physical. Absolutely. Because it's both of those wounds, and so does he. So we all do. That's a part of a healthy relationship. And that empathy is understanding. Mm-hmm. Empathy is feeling for one another, and it's not coddling, right? I have empathy for all of my clients deeply. I'm a deep empath. I feel them. I've been where they are, right? Mm-hmm. I understand their pain, but I'm doing a lot to make sure that they don't stay in that pain.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. That's real empathy. Is like, I feel you. I know what you're going through, but you can't stay here. You can't wallow in this.
Well, the irony too is, if you are too empathetic to it, then you get the validation that, mm-hmm. hey, this person only empathizes with me when I am in this state, as opposed to when I'm actually who I am. So there is a fine line there between supporting someone and understanding someone versus, in a sense, enabling their codependent and or limiting beliefs, you know, surrounding whatever trauma they're enacting in the moment. And that's the fine line that we all need to walk. Now, on the flip side, though, when you are, projecting those experiences onto your partner, there's also a lesson on the other hand of, you know, that's part of the duality and the connection within relationships too, is like, we're all learning something at all times. Even if my only job is to assert myself and say, hey, you know, like, look at what the hell you're doing right now. Yeah. You know, like, you know, and sometimes you need to stand up for yourself in that way and show your partner and call them out on their shit. And other times you need to just be that strong pillar that allows you to just hold space for them to kind of work through that. And sometimes you also just need to have space and let them be in their own space to deal with that. Cause you know, a lot of times, you know, when we're dealing with hard stuff, sometimes we need the support of our partner, and then other times we need to just do it ourselves, and we really need to be in our own space, because having them there is adding more triggers to the thing, and it's hard to focus on changing that when something's constantly in your face and you're always being reminded of it consistently. So that's also why space is a very important part too.
Dude, space is everything, and people need to get that. I swear to God, if you get anything from this, if you're in a relationship, honor space. Mm-hmm. It's just as sweet as intimacy. It's what creates intimacy.
Yeah.
It's so goddamn important. And I see a lot of people in relationships who demonize space. Like, oh God, we need space. Oh God, something's wrong. No.
Oh my God.
No. If you set it as a part of your relationship, if balance and space is a natural part of what you do,
it's the ebb and flow.
And then when you want space, it's out of love, because it's actually out of love, right?
Yes,
and part of creating balance is so that you don't get to the point where creating it as a part of the way that you have relationship with each other is so that you actually prevent those really sticky moments of I need to push you away right now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's very important, because a lot of times we wait too long to get to that point. I've been there, because obviously, like, when you love someone too, you want to be with them all the time, generally.
You know,
you want to be in their space all the time. You want to be connected all the time. You want to be intimate all the time. And so it can be challenging to kind of be the bigger person and say, hey, you know, I'm looking at the situation right now. And as much as I love you, you know, we need to have our own time, you know, to grow and to cater, you know, like, you know, especially, you know, if you're a man and you're starting your career, you're starting your path, you're starting your mission, or even if you're a woman and you're starting to, you know, begin doing new things and trying new things and all that, we need that space to grow within ourselves, because otherwise what happens is we feel the container of the relationship can't grow. And then we're too big, trapped in a too small of a box. And then guess what happens? That eventually container breaks open, or we just like battle it out inside of that. And either of those situations isn't fun, and that's unideal. So how do we prevent that? Well, by creating space, by continuing to build ourselves so that the container itself of the relationship can grow along with us. Because when we don't, then we get claustrophobic, and then we get all in each other's grill, and then we're, you know, and then we lose that, the reason why we were together anyways, you know,
totally
we lose that connection.
Well, and it's nice to miss each other also.
It's important to miss each other, you know, it's very important to have that, because that's ultimately what creates that desire for each other and that admiration for each other. Because you can't appreciate, like, it doesn't matter what area you're looking at. You don't appreciate something that you're doing all the time, right? It's like, it's the only time you can really, really appreciate something is when you don't have it, you know? It's just like when like our nose, for example, when we initially smell, it smells amazing. But when we're in that smell all the time, we don't smell it anymore.
Yeah.
Now, this is like a biological response, but all of our senses are like that, you know, including our emotions, you know? So when we're feeling like intimate with another person, we're with our partner all the time, it doesn't matter how much you love them. Eventually, you're going to need to have that space if you're not cultivating that already.
I think, you know, so you get to that space of we're each other's home, which is the magic, which is really special. But then there's a lot of room there to take each other for granted, which you don't want to do. No. And you forget, like, I forget, oh my God, this is my person. Nobody gets me like he does, right? You forget that because you're so used to having your person that, like, you have all your inside jokes with, like, you want to tell everything to, like, you feel the safest with, you can be naked with, like, you know, you forget how magical that is at times, because you naturally will take that for granted when you have so much time with that person. And you have to remind yourself, hold on, I've got this super cool thing called divine healthy love. That's real cool, right? And you have to step back and be in your own space to find that appreciation of like, oh, I kind of miss him right now. Yeah. Like, all right. Like I like doing my own thing. I love spending time with myself. I love self-love. So you know, it's important to love spending time with yourself, but I also want to be with him. And you can hold the two. There's magic in holding the polarities and having two side by side, right? Yep. And you need that time, at least because I run a business. I can't get all my work done if we're just hanging out. Yep,
same thing.
There's no way.
Same reason. Know? Yeah. Exactly.
I get that message a lot. Like, hey, you got stuff to create. Don't forget, just a couple days. You know, yeah. It's important to take that time and be in your flow. And it's also important, as you know, people who want to be looking inward, you need that time to think. And in my relationship, we're both air signs. Our brains are like freaking always going. We need time to just process and think a little bit, or not think, and just be in our own energy and then come back. And it's just really, really important. It's weird that people think it's a bad thing, because it's just not.
Well, that's the fuel for relationships.
Yeah. You know,
that's the fuel. Because it's like, if you're constantly draining your cup and they're constantly draining their cup, and then you're just these empty cups that are like clinking together, it's like no one is getting nourished there. You're not nourishing each other. You're not nourishing the relationship. So you dry out. Right. And that's what a lot of people experience, you know, over time, is it dries out and they wonder, oh, I don't know what happened. It's like, well, you weren't taking that space. You were not filling up your cup. You were not nourishing yourself individually in order to then say, hey, I actually have something to offer in this relationship. You know, I have something to offer. And I also have enough room to be able to receive. Because if we haven't received from ourselves enough, and we're constantly relying on our partner, we're draining them to give us that validation, give us that attention, give us that intimacy, give us that love. And we're not allowing them to replenish their cup. So it goes both ways. You need to refill your own cup, but you also need to be mindful of the ways in which you're taking too much from their cup, you know? But here's the thing. When both of you are able to create the boundaries and the necessary, realm for you to spend time on your own and nourish yourself, then the cup will always be overflowing. Your relationship cup will always be overflowing. But if you don't do that, then you're going to kind of eventually hit a dry spot, or hit a spot where you're in the shallow waters now. And all of a sudden it's like, ooh, this doesn't feel as good as it once felt. And it's like, well, I wonder why. You're both starved, you know?
Well, and it's magic, because, you know, it's like part of filling up your cup is being your own best friend, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I see it. It's
the podcast mug. Got the mindful moment.
Ah, a mindful moment. I have Dr. Seuss.
Nice. I saw that.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah. It's a relationship with yourself, right?
Always. Which means
that you are giving yourself compassion, you're mothering yourself, you're fathering yourself, you are having empathy for yourself, you're taking time, genuine, present time to ask yourself what you need. Guess what happens when you do that for yourself on a daily basis? You get really good at giving that to another person.
Absolutely.
But if you don't do that.
And it excites you too.
It does.
When you're not doing that, it feels kind of like grueling to have to, like, you know, go and show up for another person, go and give to another person. It feels like, it's like, you know, at the end of the day, when you're just tired and all you want to do is just relax, and it's like, now you have to go and do, you know, do a whole bunch of things, or go out and do things that you don't really want to do. And that's what it's like being in a relationship where you're constantly draining your cup and you're not constantly filling it up, which is very, very, very important.
No, that's totally the point I wanted to make. It's like, if you're not in self-love, if you don't know how to be in a relationship with yourself and have compassion for yourself, it's going to be really uncomfortable to give that to the person.
Exactly. And that's also how resentment gets built up too.
Totally. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that is the killer of relationships.
Well, resentment is the killer of all. It's the killer of everything.
Absolutely.
You know, you're just holding all this stuck pain about somebody else, and they're fine. But you are weighing yourself down.
Yeah, resentment doesn't hurt anybody except for yourself.
Except for you. It's the truth. It's one thing that the 12 steps got right, is that resentments is it's a messy, messy space, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what's the OG truth bomb that you want to leave our audience with today to kind of summarize everything that we've been talking about, and also kind of show people a little bit into your deep wisdom?
Beautiful. I love that. You know, I love showing the deep wisdom. okay, you know what it is? I want to leave everybody with one thing, and you can keep this as a mantra. It's your... And what I mean by that,
you got to repeat that because it cut out?
Huh?
You got to repeat that because it cut out. It's like right as you were saying the mantra, you're like...
No, okay, ready? Your soul does not want Band-Aids. It wants you. And did you hear it?
Yep.
You're good. Okay.
Now tell us what that means.
And so what it means to me and I think you'll be able to start to embody this is that your soul doesn't want drugs. It doesn't want a person. It doesn't want outside things. It doesn't want these quick fixes, these Band-Aids. It has always been asking you to come home to yourself. So turn inward, take a moment, 5 minutes a day, ask yourself what you need, because there's so much magic when you learn that you have everything you've always needed within you, and that you can fill that up, and you get to fill up your own cup, and you get to heal yourself. And then everything that Will and I talked about, all about co-creating and enjoying being taken care of on the feminine side, right? Then you get to experience that in a really fulfilling way with another person. Once you learn that your soul doesn't want Band-Aids, it doesn't want quick fixes, it just wants you. And I'd like to leave everybody with that.
Love it. Love it. How can people find you, get in contact with you, and or work with you?
Awesome. So my hub, I do a lot of magic on Instagram. It's at Pink and Sparkles 101. Everything's on there. I do meditation.
Yep. And I'll tag your handle and everything below.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah. So honestly, if you want to find me, I'd go hang out with me there, and then you can find my other work through that. I have my own podcast. It's called the Self-Love with Rihanna Marie podcast. A lot like Will's, it's super casual conversation, but about really authentic stuff.
Yeah. And go check out our conversation on there.
You got to watch ours. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Will and I, it was a bit ago. We should probably do another. We just got to keep podcasting together. Absolutely. But I had him on there, and those would be the two best ways to hang out with me. And then I do private coaching, and I coach about pretty much everything we talked about. And I break down those limiting beliefs with you and bring you onto the other side. And you can ask me more about that on Instagram, but I would love to just have you come into my space and hang out with me.
Yeah, join the community. Awesome. Join it. Well, it was a pleasure having you on. And as always, you guys can find us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow me at I Am Will Nichols on Instagram. And if you're a man who is wanting to up-level your sex life and learn to be a conscious beast in the sheets, you can send me a DM, Brotherhood, and see if you qualify to join my 6-week sexual mastery course, which is fucking amazing. I've got some amazing men in that, and I would love to have you join the Brotherhood. So thank you once again, Rihanna, for joining me, for having this amazing conversation. You can go check her out at Pink and Sparkles 101. And as always, thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. And thank you for taking a moment to be mindful with us.
Thank you. That feels good.